of Israel. The power of the Most High, one God, now and forever. Gathered in the name of Jesus, let us confess our sin against God and our neighbor. Gracious God, in I bring you good news of great joy for all the people. To you is born a Savior, Christ the Lord. Your sins are forgiven in Jesus' name. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Let us pray. Almighty God, you have filled all the earth with the light of your incarnate word. By your grace, empower us to reflect your light in all that we do. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. You may be seated.
The first reading is a reading from Jeremiah. Thus says the Lord, sing aloud with gladness for Jacob, and raise shouts for the chief of the nations. Proclaim, give praise, and say, save, O Lord, your people, the remnant of Israel. See, I'm going to bring them from the land of the north, and gather them from the farthest parts of the earth, among them the blind and the lame, those with child and those in labor together, a great company, they shall return here. With weeping they shall come, and with consolations I will lead them back. I will let them walk by brooks of water, in a straight path in which they shall not stumble. For I have become a father to Israel, and Ephraim is my firstborn. Hear the word of the Lord, O nations, and declare it in the coastlands far away. Say, he who scattered Israel, I will gather him, and will keep him as a shepherd a flock. For the Lord has ransomed Jacob and has redeemed him from hands too strong for him. They shall come and sing aloud on the heights of Zion and shall be radiant over the goodness of the Lord, over the grain, the wine, and the oil, and over the young of the flock and the herd. Their life shall become like a watered garden, and they shall never languish again. Then shall the young women rejoice in the dance, and the young men and the old shall be merry. I will turn their mourning into joy. I will comfort them and give them gladness for sorrow. I will give the priests their fill of fatness, and my people shall be satisfied with my bounty, says the Lord. The word of the Lord. The psalm will be read responsibly with the congregation reading the bold print. Worship the Lord, O Jerusalem. Praise your God, O Zion. God has established peace on your borders and satisfies you with the finest wheat. God gives snow like wool, scattering frost like ashes. The Lord sends forth the word and melts them. The wind blows and the waters flow. The Lord has not done so to any other nation. They do not know God's judgments. Hallelujah. The second reading is a reading from Ephesians. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, just as he chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world to be holy and blameless before him in love. He destined us for adoption as his children through Jesus Christ, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace that he freely bestowed on us in the Beloved. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace that he lavished on us. With all wisdom and insight, he has made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure that he set forth in Christ, as a plan for the fullness of time, to gather up all things in him, things in heaven and things on earth. In Christ we have also obtained an inheritance, having been destined according to the purpose of him who accomplishes all things according to his counsel and will, so that we, who were the first to set our hope on Christ, might live for the praise of his glory. In him you also, when you have heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and had believed in him, were marked with the seal, the promised Holy Spirit. This is the pledge of our inheritance towards redemption as God's own people and the praise of his glory. The word of the Lord.
The Holy Gospel according to St. John.
Glory to you, O Lord.
In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through Him, and without Him, not one thing came into being. What has come into being in Him was life, and the life was the light of all people. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify to the light, so that all might believe through him. He himself was not the light, but he came to testify to the light. The true light, which enlightens everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world came into being through him. Yet the world did not know him. He came to what was his own people did not accept him. But to all who received him, who believed in his name, he gave power to become children of God, who were born not of blood or the will of the flesh or the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and lived among us. And we have seen his glory, the glory as of a Father's only Son, full of grace and truth. John testified to him and cried out, "This was he of whom I said, 'He who comes after me ranks ahead of me because he was before me.' From his fullness we have all received grace upon grace. The law indeed was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God. It is God, the only Son, who is close to the Father's heart, who has made him known." Beloved children of God, this is the good news, the gospel of our Lord. Be seated. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Throughout human history, we've been lost in the darkness and looking for the light. Surely, these last couple years, we've been longing for light at the end of the tunnel. But with each new wave, it feels like at best we're caught in a fog, longing to see the light. Now, in John's Christmas story, what we are getting is the beginning of the end of our struggle with all that turmoil, the turmoil that we experience in the world and all that life brings to us. But now, Martin Luther offers a bit of commentary that expands a bit on Luke's Christmas story and how we don't make room for that light that has come to dwell with us that we hear in John's gospel. He says, quote, "Now when they were to come to Bethlehem, the evangelist says that they were, were of all the lowest and most despised. Bethlehem ought to have made way for them, but they were shoved into a stable to make common lodging and table with the cattle, while many cutthroats lounged like lords in the inn. They did not recognize what God was doing in the stable. With all their eating, drinking, and finery, God left them empty, and this comfort and treasure was hidden from them. Oh, what a dark night it was in Bethlehem that this light should have been seen. Thus God shows that he has no regard for what the world is and has and does. And the world shows that it does not know or consider what God is and has and does. End quote. The judgment of Bethlehem can certainly be applied to humanity today. We haven't evolved as much as we'd like to think. And again, Luther does not mince words when he offers the circumstance, when it comes to the circumstances of the Holy Family in Luke's Christmas story. Quote, Joseph had to do his best, and it may well be that he asks some maid to fetch water or something else, but we do not read that anyone came to help. They heard that a young wife was lying in a cow stall, and no one gave heed. Shame on you, wretched Bethlehem. The inn ought to have been burned with brimstone, for even though Mary had been a beggar and unwed, anybody at such time should have been glad to give her a hand. End quote. But Christ comes into the world to bring light and not more darkness. Even when darkness tries to overcome this light by crucifying Jesus, it's not brimstone that Jesus comes back with, but love, mercy, forgiveness, and life eternal. Luther goes on to say, quote, let us then meditate upon the nativity just as we see it happening in our own babies. I would not have you contemplate the deity of Christ, the majesty of Christ, but rather his flesh. Look upon the baby Jesus. Divinity may terrify man. Inexpressible majesty will crush him. That is why Christ took on our humanity, save for sin, that he should not terrify us, but rather that with love and favor he should console and confirm. End quote. The light that breaks through enables us to see with eyes of faith that we encounter the living God in our world, that we encounter the living God in word and sacrament, but we also have the ability to see the living God in our neighbor. So Luther goes on to say, and this really should convict us all today, quote, there are many of you in this congregation who think to yourselves, if only I would have been there, how quick I would have been to help the baby. I would have washed his linen. How happy I would have been to go with the shepherds to see the Lord lying in the manger. Yes, you would. You say that because you know how great Christ is. But if you had been there at the time, you would have done no better than the people of Bethlehem. Childish and silly thoughts are these. Why don't you do it now? You have Christ in your neighbor. You ought to serve him. For what you do to your neighbor in need, you do to the Lord Christ himself. End quote. We have the ability to see our neighbor in our fellow, to see God in our neighbor. We have the ability to point to the light of Christ that has broken into the world as ones who encounter the living God through word and sacrament. And what's moving about John's gospel, I'm going to kind of transition into much of what I shared on Christmas morning, is that it is a Christmas story, but we might not think of it as a Christmas story because it doesn't have that tangibility that we see in Luke's gospel that Luther could really latch on to, right? That we can kind of relate to a family that's struggling when the mother's about to give birth, right? We can there's some earthiness there. John's gospel is very theologically savvy and poetic, but that power of theology and the poetry is really something for us to sit and ponder. We hear these words, and we see it revealed in Luke's gospel very much, but we hear these words in John particularly, and the word became flesh and lived among us. But the better translation should be that the word became flesh and tabernacled among us. Now, in the Old Testament, the tabernacle was a residence of a dwelling place that was portable and where the God of Israel resided. And what we hear in both Christmas stories, in Luke and in John, is that the Word, the I Am, is now tabernacling among us by taking on our flesh and taking on our humanity. For the world has fallen and is longing for that light. And we need God to tabernacle with us, because we need God's, only God's light can overcome the darkness that has plagued this world. So God is not distant. God is not an absentee landlord. Our God is with us and continues to dwell with us all the days of our lives. And Christmas offers us this very tangible reminder of this truth. And as I shared on Christmas morning, that concept of tabernacle, not just from the Old Testament, but if you're familiar with like Roman Catholic churches in particular, they have a tabernacle in their sanctuary where they put the consecrated hosts. You'll even see some tabernacles in some Episcopal churches or even some Lutheran churches. But what we don't want to lose sight of, and while that's a perfectly rational way to care for the consecrated elements for those who believe in the real presence, we don't want to lose sight of what's very important here. We become tabernacles too. We become tabernacles. God dwells within each and every one of us. And then we're sent out into the world for people to encounter God's presence dwelling in the world, because God is dwelling within each and every one of us. For God in Christ Jesus comes into the world to restore all of God's creation. And in Jesus, God's promises are being fulfilled, and in Christ there is a new creation. So let me go into the third commandment a bit here. The third commandment. Should I put anybody on the spot here? Should I? No. Remember, for the Lutheran numbering, remember the Sabbath and keep it. Craig's hoping, don't pick me, right? He's just laughing there. Don't pick me. Remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. In Luther's explanation in the Small Catechism, he doesn't focus on a day of the week. He's focused on preaching and teaching God's word that we would hear it and gladly learn it. And so what we hear in John's gospel is that the word is what? Or the word is who? It's Jesus Christ, right? So when we gather around word and sacrament as part of this new creation in Christ, it's no longer confined just to being obedient to a day of the week, but finding rest in Jesus Christ. We rest in the word by being nurtured in word and sacrament. Right? I mean, think about going to Matthew's gospel. Jesus says, all you who are weary or heavy burden, come to me, all you who are weary and heavy and carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you what? Rest. We find our rest in Jesus. So when we receive the word through preaching, and when we receive the word through the true body and blood of Christ in the sacrament of Holy Communion, we receive rest, and then we become tabernacles. We become dwelling places for our God. So what's very important too on Christmas, as we celebrate these 12 days of Christmas, is that we're not just celebrating the birth of Christ, but we're celebrating our new birth as children of God. We're celebrating all the keeping of God's promises and the restoration of all of God's creation. As tabernacles in God's new creation, we know that we still live in a dark and broken world. But if God is dwelling with us, if God's light is shining in the darkness, we have good news on our side, right? Because can the darkness overcome that light? No. We're assured of that. We're promised that. The darkness cannot overcome it. And then there's this other reality that we have in being reminded and humbled that this isn't about us. It's about pointing and drawing people to the living God. And so then there's also the role we have in being like a John the Baptist in pointing people to the light, which is Jesus Christ, not to ourselves, but to Jesus. As God dwells with us, as God tabernacles with us and in us, we also, like John the Baptist, give witness to the light that is in the world. So I think Christians might tend to read these stories and see them as being complete within themselves, but that can't be further from the truth. It is a living word. And we're part of a new creation that is underway. So don't be stuck looking into the clouds for God, but see and know the God that is right here in front of you, right here in front of all of us, the God that is with us, the God that is in us. For the Word became flesh and tabernacled among us. Beloved children of God, this Word, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, this Word is with you. Be the tabernacle that God made you to be in the world. For there are people who are tired. There are people who are troubled. There are people who are weary. And may they find rest in the Word that dwells within each and every one of us. And may that light that is breaking through the world shine so bright that we can point to it and continue to proclaim that good news, that this light is here. And the darkness will never be able to overcome it. Thanks be to God. Amen.
Let us say what we believe in the words of the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God,
Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. God from God, light from light, true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became truly human. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day he rose again, in accordance with the Scriptures. He is in the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, and has spoken to the prophets. We believe in one holy Catholic and Apostolic Church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come.
Joining our voices with the heavenly hosts and Christians throughout time and space, let us pray for the Church, the world, and all in need. You make yourself known in the gift of language and diverse forms. Draw our attention to those who communicate through sign, braille, and technology. Make your church a place where all methods of communication are celebrated. Merciful God, we pray for Daniel, our bishop, Elizabeth, our presiding bishop, Adam, our dean and pastor, all pastors, deacons, and all who minister in Christ, and for all the holy people of God. Merciful God. Creating God, the sun greets us anew each morning. Thank you for waking us up today to witness and share your abundance. Awaken us always to your wisdom and deepen our care for your natural world. Merciful God. Emmanuel, in your name we are assured that you are with us. Train nations and peoples to honor and respect one another, especially those whose names and identities have been mistreated, neglected, or oppressed. Merciful God, you adopt us as your beloved ones. Accompany parents and children navigating the adoption process, especially those in the foster system. Sustain those struggling with infertility or pregnancy loss. Tenderly embrace all in need, especially Rob, the Beal family, Matt, Tracy, Amber, Crystal, Vincent, Pat, Debbie, Candace, Randy, Stan, Phyllis, Jasmine, Audrey, David, Sutton, Nola, Ruth, John, Barb, Leah, our homebound, and for those with COVID-19. We give thanks for vaccines and treatments, and we ask that you strengthen doctors, medical care workers, and caretakers who see to the needs of all entrusted to their care. Merciful God, you journey with us through change. Guide those assuming new roles in this congregation or making transitions in their families, workplaces, or communities. As the seasons and the calendar change, equip us for unexpected challenges. Merciful God. Holy God, you sent your Son Jesus to protect us all. We pray for those in our armed services and their chaplains. Merciful God. We give you thanks for all who modeled lives of loving service, especially Wilhelm Lowe, whom we commemorate today. Lead us in your grace until, with all your saints, we enter the fullness of your glory. Merciful God. Receive our prayer.
rejoicing in your word made flesh among us, we commend these prayers to you, confident of your grace and love made known to us in Jesus Christ, our Savior. We continue with an offering. You want to get the plate from the usher?
Let us pray. Gracious God, your word made flesh brings harmony to the earth. As we offer ourselves and these your gifts, prepare us to receive the grace of your truth and truth you offer at this table, and renew us in the song of your salvation. In Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord.
Amen.
The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, almighty and merciful God, through our Savior Jesus Christ. In the wonder and mystery of the Word made flesh, you have opened the eyes of faith to a new and radiant vision of your glory, that beholding the God made visible, we may be drawn to love the God whom we cannot see. And so, with all the choirs of angels, with the church on earth and the host of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn.
Holy and wondrous God, long ago you spoke to our ancestors in many and various ways. And in these last days you have spoken to us in your word made flesh, Jesus, who proclaimed your dream of peace. He gave himself for our weary world, accepting death so that we might live, and held our darkness deep within, until through cross and grave and empty tomb, he set us free for love. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread and gave thanks, broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body, given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." And so we proclaim the mystery of faith. Recalling his death and resurrection, and longing for his coming glory, we offer you these gifts of bread and wine in our lives in thanks and praise. Pour out your Spirit upon these gifts that they may be for us the body and blood of our Savior Jesus Christ. Pour out your Spirit upon us that we might be a people of grace and truth, bearing good news of joy in every season. And bring us at last with Mary and Joseph and all your saints to that vision of eternal splendor for which you have created us. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, by him, with him, in him, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, we worship you, O God, in song of everlasting praise. Amen. Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, distribution of the sacrament will be continuously. I will be in the center with the consecrated host. There'll be two stations for consecrated wine, and if you desire grape juice, that'll be only on the pulpit side. An usher will release you forward with trays of glass cups. Receive a glass cup as you come forward. These are the gifts of God for the people of God. Christ is present here, and he offers himself to you. In Christ's manger, at Christ's table, come, see what God makes known for you. the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you, keep you in his grace.
Let us pray. We thank you, wondrous God, for Jesus, God with us, in these gifts of bread and wine. As we have shared this feast of love, strengthen us to share your love with all the world. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen. As Christ sends us out into the world, let us recite the mission God has given us. The God of hope, fill us with all joy and peace in believing, so that we may abound in hope by the power of his Holy Spirit, through Christ, the Word made flesh.
Go in peace, rejoice in Christ our Savior.